your Bibles in hand and your Bibles open, and please keep them open this morning if you don't mind. We'll point out a few things in the Word of God that I trust will be a help to you today, okay? Trust it'll be a blessing to you. Talk about something today most people know nothing about.
Amen.
Most people can't live it. It's a hard thing to live. But I feel this is what the Lord wants me to try to speak on this morning. I'm going to ask you to turn your Bibles to the book of 1 Thessalonians this morning, if you would, please. 1 Thessalonians and chapter number 4. 1 Thessalonians in your Bible and chapter number 4. And we're going to pick up reading in verse number 1.
Amen.
1 Thessalonians and chapter number 4. Bible says in verse 1, furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more.
Amen.
For you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. That every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God.
Amen.
That no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, and we also have forewarned you and testified. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit. But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed you do it toward all the brethren which are in Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more, and that ye study to be quiet and to do your own business, and to work with your own hands as we commanded you, that you may walk honestly toward all them that are without, and that ye may have lack of nothing. Now may the Lord add his blessing to that this morning. Let's look to him in a moment of prayer and ask God's help. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful, Lord, for the Sunday school time we've enjoyed today, the fellowship with the people of God. I'm thankful, Lord, for the song service and the privilege we have now to look into Thy Word. And I pray, Lord, You'd open it up to our hearts, and may we understand it today enough, Lord, that we can put it into our lives and put it into practice, that it may bring glory and honor to God. I do pray, Lord, You'll save sinners, revive Your people. Bless Brother Hall as I stand this morning. Grant liberty and unction to preach. Do great works in the hearts of Your people. Again, we thank You, Lord, for the marathon, for what You did on it. Thank You for those that helped and labored and gave. We trust, Lord, You'll reward them properly for that. Bless us now from Thy Word. Bless every family that's represented here today. Give peace in hearts and satisfaction to every soul. We'll thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated this morning. All right. I want to read a couple of verses at the bottom for you and try to preach out of verses 11 and 12 this morning, where Brother Paul here said that you study to be quiet and do your own business and to work with your own hands as we commanded you, that you may walk honestly toward them that are without, that you may have lack of nothing. You notice there in verse number 11, he said, in that you study to be quiet. The Lord said, you study to be quiet. And so I want to preach around that thought a little bit this morning, if God would help me, on living a quiet life. I believe that's an admirable thing in the eyes of the Lord, is for His people to live a quiet and a peaceable life upon this earth. He certainly does not want us to live in turmoil and chaos. He leads His sheep beside still waters, not turbulent waters, but beside the still water. And God wants us to live that quiet and a peaceable life. Now, the primary subject here in these verses, the first 12 verses of chapter number 4, is without a shadow of a doubt the sanctified life of the child of God, or the sanctified life of the believer. He said there in verse number 3, "For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication." There's not a doubt in my mind that God wants us to be sanctified. That is, God wants us to be consecrated people. He wants us to be holy people, dedicated unto the Lord. You know, the Bible does say that without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. And a holy life is simply being consecrated, being dedicated. It is abstaining from evil and living for the Lord and for His glory. And there's no doubt that is the primary thought here in chapter number 4 in these first 12 verses. The first virtue, in fact, that Paul speaks about here is that of love. And he speaks of brotherly love more in particular than love itself. And, you know, we ought to love the Lord, our God, with all of our heart. And I'm going to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. We ought to learn to love one another. We're not going to get anywhere as God's people if we bite and devour one another. That's what James said. If you bite and devour one another, you're not going to get anywhere with God. You know, and that's true in so many Baptist churches today. It's almost a battle rather than a worship center. It's because people, instead of having peace and tranquility in their heart, they live a life of turmoil, and all they know how to do is bite and devour one another. They do that with a tongue, by the way, in criticizing one another rather than studying to be quiet and living a life that would please Almighty God. Now, in verse number 11, Paul passes from the subject of brotherly love to the necessity of maintaining a quiet and a peaceable disposition. And I will say that love and peace are twins. You can't get along without them. They're like a right-hand glove and a left-hand glove. They've got to be together. To have peace, you gotta be able to love folk. And if you love people, you will have peace in your heart one for another. It's impossible to separate these. Brotherly love can have no place in the heart from which peace has fled and where war and discord reign in that heart. You know, it's hard to love somebody that you're at war with. It's hard to love somebody that you're constantly bickering with. It's hard to have peace in a place where there's constant bickering and where there's constant fussing and quarreling and fighting. God never intended the church to be that way. God wants His people, which is the church, by the way. We just gather in this building. But God wants His people to live a quiet and a peaceable life upon this earth with all godliness and honesty in their heart. And I'm going to tell you, most places that you go today, it's just the opposite. There's war and discord reigning in the hearts of people. Now, the quiet spirit does not mean to be necessarily meek or meaningless or a cowardly condition of the mind. I think a lot of people have got that idea that if you're a quiet person and you've got a quiet spirit about you, that you're some kind of a coward. People think that somebody with a big mouth and a boisterous mouth, that they're rough and tough and hard to bluff. But I'm going to tell you, I found out that it'd be different a long time ago. I didn't spend 4 years in the Army for nothing. And I learned that most of the time, that fellow that keeps his mouth shut, he doesn't say and then do, he just does. Amen. That's right. He just simply does. And so having a quiet spirit does not mean having a cowardly disposition about you or being weak in any manner. In fact, it is a great sign of strength to have that quiet spirit about you. Now, it does contain, though, in its elements, a patient endurance. Thank God for patience. I appreciate what Brother Gray said about me last night. He said, I don't believe I've ever met a more patient man than Brother Hall. And patience is the ability to stay endure, to stay under the load, to carry the load without crushing under that load and continue serving God and to wait on the Lord. Patience is our ability to wait on God to deliver us from a bad position or a troubled condition of life that we may be living in. And I'm going to tell you, I believe God is trying the patience of His people today in the hour that we're living in. Friend, I'm telling you that things in this world are going sour. And it's not easy to be a Christian anymore. And God's testing and trying His people to see if we're patient enough to stay up and under the load that we're going to have to carry in these last days. And there is a load to carry. And we're going to have to be patient. We're going to have to patiently endure and carry that load and that trouble that we're living under. I'm telling you, the devil is working overtime to do everything he can to destroy your home, to destroy your family, destroy your life, destroy everything about you. But I'm telling you, if we'll remain patient and wait upon the Lord, they that wait upon the Lord shall do what? They first of all shall renew their strength. Amen. That's right. They'll mount up with wings of eagles. They'll run and not grow weary, and they'll walk and they will not faint if they learn to wait upon the Lord. Okay? It's got a patient endurance and an unconquerable bravery and an invincible moral power about it. Our Lord was no doubt gentle and harmless, but I want to say that He could break forth in fury any moment He wanted to. And He can right now. God is our Lord is very gentle and harmless. It says so in the book of Hebrew. But I want you to know that any time He wants, He can break forth in fury. And He's going to do that one of these days. This world has got the idea that God is a big cream puff. That He's just sitting up there like an old gray-haired man. And we got to come to Him like Santa Claus. And He's not going to ever get mad at nobody. I've heard so many people say, well, after all, we're all trying to get to the same place. I'm not trying to get to the same place. I'm going to heaven. I've heard them say there's many ways to get there. Well, there's only one way to get there. And I'm telling you, God is not some old gray-headed man sitting up there that by and by in the end is going to say everything's all right and everybody going to heaven. I tell you, everybody is not going to heaven. God is a God of love, but I'm telling you, God is a God of wrath and a God of judgment and a God of fury. And there's coming another time. There's already been one time when God reigned on this earth, but there's coming another time when God will pour out all of His fury upon this earth. Amen. I'm kind of getting sidetracked, but I can't help but to get off on that track. I think people are asleep today. I think people have dozed off into a spiritual slumber today. And rather than being vigilant about what's going on, we've drifted off into slumber and sleep. And I'm telling you, it is high time that we woke up out of our sleep and realize what's going on around us in this world that we're living in, ladies and gentlemen. Somebody say amen right there. Amen. Now, a quiet spirit is a practical evidence of possessing a genuine sanctified life. Listen what Brother Peter said in Peter 3:4 about a woman. He said that her meek and her quiet spirit was an ornament of great price in the sight of God. In the sight of God. That her meek and quiet spirit is an ornament in the sight of God. I won't say this. I love you ladies. Now don't take offense at Brother Hall. But I'm telling you, I cannot tolerate a big mouth woman. Amen. I'm telling you, somebody like Nancy Pelosi just absolutely just unravels my soul. Amen. Somebody say amen right there. Amen. I cannot take these big mouth women like Hillary Clinton. I can't handle them. They got big mouth and they're always bumping their gums and always trying to push their authority.
And the reason they're trying to push their authority is because they're out of the place that God intended for them to be. God intended for them to be under the authority of a man, ladies and gentlemen. But they've come out from under that authority and they've usurped authority over the man. And that's what makes them the way they are. Come on. Peter said, a meek and a quiet spirit in a woman is an ornament of great pride. That is a sign. That is a great sign of holiness in a woman that can keep her tongue to herself and knows where her place is at in life. Now, ladies, I don't mean to, hope you don't get mad at Brother Hall. But I'm just telling you a fact. Come on now. But, now men, I believe men can learn a lesson here too. How many have ever been to preacher's fellowship or a camp meeting? I'm going to tell you who does most of the bumping the gums than anybody is the preachers.
Amen.
Are you listening to what I'm saying? Hey, when he said what he done, study to be quiet. He wasn't only talking about women. He was talking about all Christians. Every saved man, every saved woman, whether they're a preacher or a Sunday school teacher or sitting in the pew, they ought to study to be quiet. Amen. They ought to have a meek and a quiet spirit about them and live a quiet life for the honor and the glory of God. Now, somebody said, Brother Hall, how on heaven's name can I have a quiet spirit? Now, I'm going to tell you, it's against the grain of all of us. Come on now, help me out. A quiet spirit is against the grain of everybody in here. We like to be heard. We like to pass our opinion. And we not only like to be heard, but we like to have the last word. And having the last word don't always pay off. Men as well as women need to study to be quiet, gentlemen. It's a lesson that I'm finding very, very difficult to learn. Somebody say amen right there. But somebody said, well, how do you get that spirit? Well, he said here in verse number 11, he said, and that ye study to be quiet. And that word study signifies to seek after an object with holy and active ambition as though it were the highest honor to possess. In other words, what Paul is saying here, that we are to study to be quiet because it is a thing of great honor. And it's not something that comes easy. It's not something that we learn naturally. It doesn't come by natural way. He said that you study to be quiet. I'm going to tell you, when I went to high school and went to Berthel Tiller, boy, I remember Berthel Tiller. God have mercy. Berthel Tiller taught algebra. He taught algebra. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I studied as much as a man could study. You know what I finally did with algebra? I took the book and threw it in the trash can. Amen. I was supposed to study and learn algebra. But I found out it was something that was difficult to learn, and so I just threw the book in the trash can. And I'm going to tell you what most Baptists have done. They found that studying to be quiet is a hard subject. It's something difficult that doesn't come naturally. You've got to study to be quiet. Are you getting the point now? You have got to apply yourself and apply your heart to keep your tongue in your mouth and to keep from expressing with your lips what you're thinking in your mind. In other words, what's in your mind, keep it there and don't let it come out of your mouth. Study to be quiet and live a quiet and a peaceable life for the glory of God on this earth. And for us to do that, we're going to have to apply ourselves a little bit. It doesn't come natural. I've heard people say about somebody that can play a musical instrument. Well, it just comes natural to them. Well, I'm going to tell you, it ain't never come natural to me. Y'all want me to go over and play a little bit of Beethoven for you? I'm going to tell you right now, it wouldn't sound very good. You know why? It don't come natural. I've never studied it. Therefore, I can't do it. Brother Steve back there, he's a pretty much a whiz kid on the computer. But I'm going to tell you, it's because he's studying. I'm going to tell you something. I'm not. The reason I'm not is because I never have studied it. Now, I'm going to tell you why most Baptists cannot live that quiet life is because they have never studied how to live that quiet life. That verse of Scripture said, and that ye study to be quiet. And I'm going to tell you where you got to study. You want the textbook? It's called a King James 1611 Bible. And don't throw that one in the trash. Oh, sir, you better keep that one out and study in that book and study to be quiet, exactly like what Brother Paul says here that we ought to do. Hallelujah. You want to live a sanctified life? Now, it's different. Being quiet and living a quiet life is so much different from the world. Buddy, the world is in the fast lane. They don't know a thing about living a quiet life. I went home last night from the marathon and got home about midnight, parked my truck and got out of it and across the street, and it's starting to get worse all the time. It sounded like someone over there was getting a little restless. Now, I said to myself, I wonder what's going on. Why, you could hear them all the way from over there to my house screaming and hooping and hollering at midnight, friend. I'm talking about 12 a.m. They're over there out in the parking lot hollering and hooping and bawling at one another. Hey, that is the world for you. That's not God's people. We don't get out at midnight and scream in the streets and holler in the streets. Amen? Try to keep the whole neighborhood away. And I'm telling you, you could hear what they were saying as plain as day. And some of the things I was hearing, I didn't really like. I mean, I scratched my head, thought a few times about what I might ought to try to do about it. And what I was thinking wasn't very good. Amen. It wasn't very godly.
Amen.
Thank you, Brother Jerome. Jerome's against it. He's the only one that said amen to it. You bunch of cowards.
Amen.
That's right. Now, it's different from the world spirit. Isaiah said in Isaiah 57:20, he said, peace, peace to him that is far off, and to him that is near, saith the Lord, and I will heal him. But the wicked are like a troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. Now, I'm telling you, the world can't rest, friend. I mean, they're just like the sea. They're never still. They know nothing about living a quiet life. We were talking in the office this morning, and somebody was talking about Brother Chuck back there. He said, I'm telling you, he said, this stuff going to bed at 20 minutes to 12 is rough, and going to church every night. I said, I'm used to going to bed at 5 o'clock in the evening, getting up about 4 o'clock in the morning. Said, this thing's starting to get rough on me. Well, I'm going to tell you something. When I was a boy growing up, hey, when it got dark, we went to bed. You know why we did? We didn't have no electricity. We didn't have no lights. There wasn't nothing to do. I mean, you might as well go to bed, friend. And we went to bed. And the neighborhood was quiet. You could leave your doors open. Didn't even have to lock your doors. Didn't have to worry about nothing. Because it was in a quiet. Everybody was quiet. It was a different time. But I'm telling you, I wouldn't dare go to bed over at my place and leave the doors unlocked today, friend, or open. I don't even leave a window raised. Amen. Upstairs or downstairs. Miss Hall said, well, you're a fool. I walk the perimeter every night. I walk into them doors out there and lock, make sure them doors is locked, make sure the windows is down, walk into that room where she's at, salute her and say, ma'am, the perimeter is secure for the evening. Amen. Now you say you're crazy. Well, I'm just telling you where I live, friend. You may not have been where Brother Hall's been in his life, but I've lived somewhere that perimeter thing is a real thing with me. You understand what I'm saying? But I'm telling you, when I was a boy growing up, when the lights went out, we went under the covers, and you didn't have to worry about locking your door. They wasn't going to know about you. But the world is not like that today. They're like a troubled sea that is constantly rolling in turmoil and turmoil and turmoil. And all it knows how to do is roll up filth and mire and filth and mire and filth and mire. And it's still rolling it up today. Amen. That's right. But they've got to, I might as well preach. Y'all ain't going to listen to me no how. They got to be out at the racetracks. I mean, I've never understood why anybody want to go to a racetrack. I mean, all it could do is limber your neck up. You know why they go? They don't go to see somebody win. They go to see somebody get hurt. They want to see, you know why people go to boxing matches? They want to see blood. Come on into hell. Pulling up that mire. Restless. They don't know how to sit at home like Granny used to and darn. They don't know how to sit at home and sew. Men don't know how to sit at home and not and read their Bible and prepare their hearts to lead their family. We don't know how to sit at home and lead a quiet life. Hey, even when we're home, we can't lead a quiet life because we got a television set blaring wide open. Come on, come on, come on. Amen. We don't know a thing about living that quiet life. And I'm telling you why. It's because we've stopped studying, quit studying on how to be quiet. That's right. Boy, they've already started football. Basketball, all that stuff going on, and it's because the world is restless. Listen to what I don't know. I don't know what I'm preaching. I'm telling you, the world is restless. They cannot sit still. They have got to have something to do or somewhere to go. And if they don't have something to do and somewhere to go, they cannot enjoy life at all, ladies and gentlemen. And they really don't know what life is all about. Oh, I'm telling you. Sister Gray, when I was a young boy growing up, it was a wonderful thing just to sit at home with Mom and Pop and all my brothers. Especially come Christmas time, you know what we decorated our Christmas tree with? Popcorn. Praise God, we'd take that needle and thread and pom-pom and pop that popcorn. Us boys would sit in there and string that popcorn and make it long, wrap it around that Christmas tree and make ornaments out of it. Hey, and just sit there. We sat in the house and played things like Riddle, Riddle, Marie, I see something that you don't see. We sat in the house and played Hide the Thimble. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Quiet. Now, when I got a little older, things changed in my life a little bit. I'm talking about when I was a young boy, you know what I'm saying? But people, I'm telling you today, can't sit still. They have got to be doing something, and they've got to be hearing a noise. Silence drives people crazy today. That's why they've got to have something in the house producing noise all the time. When I was a young boy, we didn't have it, and I'm going to tell you why. We didn't have a radio to start with. Daddy couldn't have bought an old satin hen, much less a radio. I remember the first television set we got, God help us. It was about the size of a cracker box. Had a screen, a little old screen on it, and everybody tried to see it, and the whole neighborhood had to come in to see that television. What a marvelous thing it was. Everybody said, I don't know about them things. But I'm going, hey, are you listening to what I'm saying? I'm talking about being at home and living a quiet life.
Amen.
Taking things, being with your family. And you got to study to do that. Most people today have got to be on the go, on the run, or having noise or something. And you know what it's doing? I'm just going to keep track. I'm going to keep running this rabbit, brothers, wrong.
Amen. You're doing all right.
You know what it's doing? It is robbing our minds of the Word of God and meditating on that Bible and meditating on the Scriptures and the things of God. Somebody better say, I know that is right. You can't sit and watch television, and you can't even sit and listen to the radio and meditate on God at the same time. Come on into hell.
Amen.
Amen. I'm telling you, it is robbing us.
Amen.
Somebody said, well, I feel sorry for old so-and-so. They're going to live a lonely life.
I'm going to tell you something, friend. Are you listening to a man that's getting in the years now? You may not believe this, but I enjoy sitting at home where it's quiet. We got ready to leave the house this morning. Miss Hall said, won't it be wonderful just to get home this evening and just be able to sit back and relax? Well, sure it will. Sure it will. And that's what God wants. He doesn't want us to leave there and go somewhere honky-tonking. Or Walmart. He wants us to live a quiet and a peaceful life. And to do that, you're going to have to study. And I'm going to tell you, it's totally opposite from the world. You better believe they're out there in the fast lane. Are you listening? A world attains its selfish ends in the midst of turmoil and confusion. But the godly will attain his through prayer. Listen to what Paul said to Timothy. He said, I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and a peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. I want to ask something. Somebody said, well, I just don't like that president we got in office right now. Well, I got to say I'm not fond of him either. But that Bible is still right. And God, if we're going to live a quiet and a peaceable life like God says, we're going to have to learn to pray for all men and especially for kings and for all A-double-L that are in authority. I'm telling you, they're the ones that pass the laws of the land. Somebody said, I wouldn't pray for that man. Well, that's been our problem today. That's what's wrong with America today. Somebody said it's all got to do with Washington. No, I'm going to tell you where the problem's at. It's all got to do with the church. Amen. Because we have failed in our obligations to that Bible and responsibility to that Bible. What God said. God said that you ought to pray for kings and for all that are in authority that you may lead a quiet and a peaceable life with all godliness and honesty. Now I won't say this, and I hope it don't offend nobody. Hey, I don't think God intended for all of us to be city slickers either. Thank God for the countryside. I'm glad I'm a country boy. I'm glad I was raised out in the country. I knew what it was like to shinny saplings, praise God, and ride them over to the ground. Hallelujah. I knew what it was like to go down in the woods and build little log cabins, build fires out of 10 cans, probably out of 5-gallon cans, roast potatoes in them, amen, and corn on the cob, and make soup, vegetable soup on them things as a boy. That's what we did. Go down through them briars, boy, and build a little old log cabin. I remember me and my brother Lloyd built one, and the door to get in it, we dug a hole and had to crawl under the bottom of it to get in it. But we go down them woods and just stay all day. That is, unless we come out long enough to get in Uncle Chester's vegetable garden. Not until here, Mama. Boys! Where you going? Get time to come home. Getting late. I've come in a many a time. Mama had me a little pan. Say, son, you want to turn that cemetery and get Mama some persimmons now. I won't make us a persimmon pudding for tonight. Woo, she didn't have to tell me that but one time. Hallelujah to God. Get that thing hot and melt butter on it. Oh, I'm saying there wasn't nothing like it in all this world, friend. I remember, we had weeds so big in the back of our house. We went out there one time and built tunnels around through them weeds and things. Just weaved and wobbed them weeds and made tunnels through them weeds. And I'm telling you, hey, Mom and them didn't even know where we was at. Amen. They didn't dare come in there looking for us. Son, I mean, it was like a maze in that place, buddy. I'm talking about them, what do they call them big old weeds that get 8 and 10 feet high, rag weeds or something like that. I'm telling you, huh? Horse weed, that's it. Then we made tunnels back. Somebody said, wow, boys won't do that today. They will not do things like that today. But I'm telling you, we learned to live a quiet life, ladies and gentlemen. A quiet life.
It's altogether different from the world. Like I was saying, I'm glad I was raised a country boy. Praise God, I don't like a city. I'm in, the one I'm in is big enough. Amen. That's right. You can't even have a hog around here. Can't even have any chickens. They even, somebody even asked, Brother Leroy over there, what are they doing with that goat over there? I don't know. Dad went over and told me he's offering up a burnt offering. Praise God. Now, you know, trying to live this quiet life, you got to study to do it. But I'm telling you, unfortunately, most churches are going to have somebody whose tongue is a perpetual clatter. Are you listening to me? That tongue, that they're full of suggestions for other people while they live in turmoil themselves. Have you ever noticed that? That most people that give you the suggestions on how you ought to live are not living it themselves. They know how to do it, but they're not doing it, but they can tell you how to do it. And they get the job done with their tongue on telling you how to do it. Don't know how to do it themselves. That's right. The Bible said a tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is a tongue among our members that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature and is set on fire of hell. That's what that Bible said. Don't nobody give up on me now. A quiet spirit cannot be secured without much self-denying effort. You're going to have to deny yourself. It's got to be some self-denial involved in it. But I'm going to tell you, it's a jewel worth all the trouble and the sacrifice. If you hear what I said, if we could ever develop a quiet spirit within ourselves, it is a jewel of Christian virtue that is worth the sacrifice and the self-denial that it takes to get it. Amen. Oh, if God had only put zippers on her lips. Amen. Amen. I started to say something. I don't know if I'd be right to say it or not. God ought to put zippers on her lips. Man learned how to put zippers in breeches. And one problem today in America is people, men don't know how to keep their zippers up. I said it. Somebody said, I don't like that. I said it anyhow. I've never seen so much fornicating and whoremongering in my life. That's what we've got. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Hey, and I'm going to tell you it all. Hey, you know, come on. Whew, I just can't get away from it. You know where all this adultery and fornication, why it comes along? Men are not satisfied with living that quiet, peaceable life at home that God wants them to, and they go out looking for something that's a little bit on the wild side. Come on in the house, man. Praise God. You know I'm telling you right, men want to have just a little bit on that wild side of life, and I'm going to tell you what it is. It's the fast lane out there. Are you listening to me? And one of these days, you'll be in that fast lane, and somebody else will pass you up, and you'll realize your motor's starting to run out of steam. Now, you'll catch that by slow freight after a while. And all of a sudden, you'll realize you'd have been better off to hung around the house. Woo! Woo! I'm going to tell you, there's no more of a precious thing in this world than for a man and a woman to get married and to grow together. Amen. 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 That's right. Amen. And I'm going to tell you, a lot of men begin to grow old. Some of them start getting some silly notions in their head that they're younger than they are. Are you listening to me? And that fast lane starts knocking on their door again. That ain't where God wants a man.
Amen.
God wants us to live a quiet. Hey, man, that's like Granny and Papa. Just sitting at the house, enjoying each other. We can't hardly enjoy one another anymore. Well, we're always apart and separated from one another. No wonder men and women, they husbands and wives, cannot get to know one another. They're never with one another. I don't know why this is not. I read in the paper several months ago, maybe a year ago, that this old man, an old woman in Kentucky, Brother Chuck, can you get a hold of this? They had been married 89 years. And I think the woman was something like 103 and the man was something like 104, 105 years old. The woman got sick. The doctor told her, said, we're going to put her in a nursing home. And told him, said, you can go. We'll put you in a room with her. And he said, but I'm not going to no nursing home. I've lived in this house. Blah, blah, blah. Now I'm staying here. I'm living in this house. So the woman had no choice. They took the man's wife and carried her down to the nursing home. 3 days later, the old man said, hey, called down there and said, hey, y'all still got that offer available? They said, what are you talking about? He said, can I come down there where my wife's at? That I've learned I can't get along without that woman. I'm talking about a 105-year-old man said, I cannot get along without that woman. I'm going to tell you what that was, ladies and gentlemen. There wasn't any romantic stuff in, you know what I'm talking about when I say romance. There wasn't anything involved in that. They simply loved one another and wanted to be with one another and grow older with one another. Amen. Because they loved each other and they knew each other. That's wonderful.
Amen.
Now, I don't know how I've got off on all this. I'm telling you, it certainly ain't in my notes. I'm just telling you that right now.
Amen.
God wants us to grow old together.
Amen.
Live a quiet and a peaceable life. Dwell well with your neighbor. Learn to dwell good with your neighbor. And be a good neighbor. I don't know if people today know what it means to be a neighbor or not. And when I was a boy growing up, it wasn't nothing for somebody to come to our house or mama tell me, son, go up to Aunt Nellie's and borrow a cup of sugar. I'd go traveling up the hill. Aunt Nellie, mama wants to know if she can borrow a cup of sugar. Well, sure, honey. Here you go. I mean, I'm talking about neighbors. If you had a problem and a storm come through and done house damage to you, seemed like everybody in the neighborhood gathered in to help you out. You can't get that done anymore. Hey, we've forgotten how to be a neighbor. You know why? We're in the fast lane. We ain't got time for it. Study to be quiet. That's what that Bible says. Study to be quiet. And if we're going to live that quiet life, we're going to have to study in order to do it. I've done misplaced my black glasses now for sure. Where they at, Josh? But don't lose them. They belong to Miss Hall. She'll spank me when I get home if I lose them. Now, you're going to have a little self-denial. Proverbs 20. Up to it. In other words, you're going to have to bite your tongue every now and then. And you're going to have to learn to mind your own business every now and then. Proverbs 20 and verse 3 said, it is an honor for a man to cease from strife, but every fool will be meddling. Learn to mind your own business. Hey, I'm just simply telling you that everybody else's business is not your business.
Amen.
And everybody else's business is not my business.
Amen.
Take care of you and your family and leave everybody else's alone.
Amen.
Let God handle them. Are you listening to what I'm saying? I don't try to meddle in none of your affairs at home. So I want any of you in here besides Steve. Stand up and tell me whether I've been in your home and tried to meddle in your personal life. I don't do it. I don't think a preacher has any right to do it. I know that some of them would cuss me for that. But I'm going to tell you what. Right here is where I do my talking and tell you how to live. It's up to you and God whether you live that way or not. But I'm not going to meddle in your home life and tell you in your home how you ought to live in your home other than from this pulpit. I'm not going to come into your house and meddle in your business. I've known preachers, and I'm telling you a fact. He's dead and gone, but there was a preacher in South Carolina that would not let his church members buy an automobile without clarifying it through him first. Now, I'm going to tell you what, friend. You ain't going to find that in the Word of God.
Amen.
That same preacher made every member of that church bring in their W-2 form so he knew exactly whether they was tithing on every dime or not. I tell you to tithe, I preach to you to give. Amen. But I'm telling you, I'm not going to look at your W-2 form or your 1099 to see whether you're telling me the truth or not. I don't have any right to do that. A man walked into my home and it wasn't the IRS or somebody like that, said, I want to see your 1099. I said, hit the road, Jack. See, we want to mind everybody's business but our own. And all that does is stir up strife. You're going to have to have this spirit. It's going to have to be done through self-control. He said, study to be quiet and to do your own business. In other words, personal duties have first claim upon your efforts. Attend to your own personal concerns before you start trying to take care of somebody else. Your own personal concerns. To do one's own business is the best safeguard against idleness and meddling curiosity. Listen now. Interference in the business of others creates discord. Come on in the house, ladies and gentlemen. I'm telling you, meddling in somebody else's business is a good way to stir up discord in the house of God. And I'm going to tell you one of the ways that's done. A couple of people get together and they begin to run their mouth about somebody else. Brother Leroy said that's right. I'm telling you, that's not the way to, hey, mind your own business. Hank Williams said, if you mind your own business, then you won't be minding mine. Amen. Y'all look kind of. The Bible said in Proverbs, the Lord said, six things the Lord hates, yea, seven is abomination unto him, and that was he that soweth discord among the brethren. And I'm telling you right now, when you start interfering in other people's business, it causes turmoil. Somebody said, you're off the course. You're off the subject. No, I'm not meddling in other people's business. Shows discord.
Amen.
And raises up strife and turmoil in the house of God.
Amen.
Until you cannot live that quiet life that I'm telling you about. It will cause fussing and arguing in the house of God. Or not to be.
Amen.
Amen. Now, number three, how to live a quiet life. Look what the scripture said. And that, you, number one, you study to be quiet. Number two, self-control. That is, you do your own business. Number three, and you work with your own hands. Stay busy. An idle mind is the devil's workshop. Stay busy. Take care of your own personal duties. Demand of yourself genuine hard work. Somebody said, oh, preacher, I can't do it. Hey, the old timers used to go out in the morning, come in for dinner, what we call dinner, and go back out and stay in the night. They didn't have idle time on their hands. Paul told Timothy, he said, but if any provide not for his own house, especially for those of his own, provide not for those, his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. We ought to demand some heart. Little bit of labor out of ourselves. And I tell you, there's no greater foe to holiness than idleness. Are you listening to what I'm saying? An idle man always is always something worse.
His brain is a workshop of the devil, where he forges the most debasing family and plots the most pernicious schemes. Many take no more pain to go to many take more pain to go to hell than many do to go to heaven. You listen to what I'm saying? Many people take more pain to go to hell than what many do to go to heaven. Because they don't labor at it. The Bible said in Ephesians 4:28, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands that which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Boy, I wonder what happened if we started practicing that. We run real slow, but I wonder what happened if we started practicing that. If we had worked with our own hands, that we might have to give to him that needeth. That's the Bible. Now, I never knew this, and my cousin didn't tell me this. My brother did. But I got a cousin that is 70 years old, and his wife is a retired nurse, and he's retired. They don't need a dime. They've got all the money they'll ever spend in this lifetime and another lifetime. And I learned that he's 70 years old. He's still driving an 18-wheeler. In fact, he drives in this area. He might be listening to me right now. He called me from Paducah a few weeks ago. And my brother told me just the other day, he said, do you know why Alton drives that truck? I said, I guess he wants the money. He said, he don't want the money. He said, he drives that truck for one reason. He takes everything he makes off of that truck driving job and finds somebody in the community that's in need, and he gives them the money that he makes from driving that truck. Amen. Or he'll build something in their home that they need. He went into my brother's old house up there and they built him a whole new bathroom. My brother told me, he said, it's so much nicer than the rest of the house. If I could live in it, I'd move into it. I'm going to tell you, there's a whole lot of folks that's a whole lot more Christians than what we think some folks we know are. Would you be willing to do that? Drive an 18-wheeler all week and give every dime you make away? Be hard to do, wouldn't it? But he said, work with your own hands that you may have to give to those that are in need. That's the Bible. I didn't write it. God wrote it. Amen. Paul said in 2 Thessalonians 3:11, he said, we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now them that are such, we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus that with quietness, they work and eat their own bread. Amen. Then another way that we gain this quiet life is through spiritual obedience. He said there, study to be quiet and do your own business and work with your own hands as we commanded you. Spiritual obedience. Just being obedient to what the Word of God says. And then through our spiritual testimony, he said that you may walk honestly toward them that are without. Can you get a hold of that? Paul said that if you will live, study to be quiet, work with your own hands, live a quiet and a peaceable life, he said that will give you a testimony to them that are without, that you're a Christian. Now, I'm going to tell you something. People are looking at what we are a whole lot more than what we say. And I'll tell you, the best way you can win your neighbor is to show your neighbor that you're a Christian. Not tell him you are. Show him you are. He said that ye may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that ye may have lack of nothing. He said, you do these things. He said, I guarantee you won't lack anything at all in life. Now, that's pretty good when you give away to, and God says, you won't lack nothing. If you give it away, people in need, you won't have lack of, you won't need anything. I wonder today, if we're really in that quiet life. Somebody said, that's an odd message. Yeah? But I think it's pretty pertinent to the times we're living in. Well, there's so many folks today that are living in turmoil. We're wondering how we're going to make that next buck. And wondering how we're going to live. Our life's in chaos and in turmoil. Our families are not right with God. There's turmoil about that. We don't know how to just settle down and stay at home. I'm going to tell you, I don't think he'll mind me telling this. We was talking back there in the office the other day. I said, Brother Steve, I said, I'm praying God will send somebody to Elykrium. I said, you feel like volunteering to go? He said, Brother Hall, said, I'm just going to be honest with you. He said, I am a homeboy. He said, I like Millport real well. And I joke him about being a homeboy all the time. And here's what he told me the other day. He said, if you think I'm a homeboy, then you ought to be around my mama a little bit. Yeah, there's something to that. It runs in families. You understand what I'm saying? It will run in the family. How you live generally is how your children are going to live. Your attitude, your disposition is generally what your children are going to be. And wouldn't it be wonderful if they grew up being quiet, respectful to their elders, learning how to do their work with their own hands and being at home and staying at home. I'm just telling you, when I was a little boy growing up, to me the big day was Friday. I got to go to Underwood Supermarket and Dollar Killing every Friday evening would lay me on the butcher block and threaten to cut my ears off. I'd just beg and cry. Mom would say, Ballard said, you oughtn't do that boy that way. And he'd say, oh, Mary, you know I'm just playing. He was just playing. And he'd generally say, well, Pern, tell Martha, I said, give him a Coke and a candy bar. Well, Pern, give him 6 ounces of Coca-Cola. Boy, make him tears roll up in your eyes, chaw on them Zeros. Woo! God have mercy. That chopping block was almost worth it. I'm talking about just, we've just gotten, life has gotten so out of sorts. Man, I wish I, just call back the years when life was simple. It's just not that simple anymore. There was a time when it was just kind of simple. A trip to the supermarket and a quarter in your pocket was a big Friday night, boy. Big Friday night. Well, I guess I'll reminisce and ramble on all I need to. Let's